Blog Talk Radio.
To the International Women's Flag Football Association on the air with IWFFA Radio. And I will be your host. I am Diane Burleson, along with Nance Warren from Kansas and Tamalyn Walker from South Carolina for the next hour and a half. IWFFA On Air Radio is on every third Thursday from 9 to 10:30 p.m. or longer, depending how good the conversation is, and you could be a part of our show as we record live. Listeners can join us in our conversation by clicking on our website, IWFFA.com. So if you're behind your computers, click onto that page. And then that's our homepage, by the way, for the International Women's Flag Football Association. And the second link from the bottom is direct to our IWFFA radio show. So click there, go to our radio page, and this page will tell our listeners the topics we're going to talk about prior to the show. You can click on the link for Blog Talk Radio, and that will direct you to register to join us in the chat room. And we'd love for you to come join us if you're listening to this now, because tonight we're going to be taking some votes from those of you in the chat room, and looks like we got a good crowd tonight. Or you can email us prior to the show to tell us you'd like us to call you up during the show, and then you can join in a direct conversation. We could do that also. So at this time, I also want to thank Nance from Women's Football Talk Radio because she's monitoring our show. And thank you very much, Nance. And without her and all her hard work, this radio show and many others on Women's Football Talk would not be possible, and especially our International Women's Flag Football section of the program would not be heard. So thank you very much. Okay, now, let us then bring in our other hosts for tonight, Nance Warren and Tamalyn Walker. Ladies, are you there?
Yes, hello, Diane.
Okay, that sounds like Tamalyn. How about Nance? Are you there tonight?
Yes, I am. And I tell you what, it is tough to be here tonight because it is nice out here in Kansas City. We've had a terrible winter. It's been snowing and up until Monday of this week, and I think we hit 80 today. So it's a wonderful night to be outside, but I'm coming in and I'm doing this show for you, Diane, because it's important and I sure enjoy it. But, boy, am I in a good mood. It was St. Patrick's Day, so I want to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if anybody's Irish out there, but I think today everybody's Irish.
Indeed. Thank you. Happy Patrick's Day to you, too.
Wait a second, Nance. Did you just say it's 80 degrees out there in Kansas?
It hit 80 degrees today, yes, and it snowed on Monday.
Oh, my God. Wow. Tamalyn, what's the weather like where you are? You're in South Carolina, aren't you?
It's Columbia, South Carolina. Good evening, everyone. Calling, talking to you guys tonight from Gamecock Country. And nice 70 degrees this evening. Yes.
Wow. Well, I'm in Key West, so the weather's very different. But 80, you know what, Nance? We might have hit 80. It was a gorgeous day, actually, I have to say. But so thank you, ladies, for joining. And thank you, Nance. I know then it must really be tough because, like you said, you have snow, and you've had snow a lot this winter, haven't you? You got hit hard.
It's been a really tough winter, and those leagues that play in the spring are getting late starts, and they're playing their early games, you know, flag football, softball, all the spring sports leagues are behind, and the games they are getting in, you know, they're just not as fun for the participants. So here in the Midwest, we are looking very much forward to the break in the weather and springtime finally.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, lucky you. And I guess the weather is kind of crazy. And I don't know. I kind of feel like we have to say something about what's happened over in Japan, though. Have you seen the photos, the shots from what's going on with the earthquake and then the tsunami, and then they have snow over there in Japan? Have you ladies seen those shots?
Oh,
yes,
my gosh, yeah.
Unbelievable. Now they have nuclear. I just want to say my prayers to everyone out there affected by the devastation, how sad it is. So we really are lucky to be where we are. That's for certain. Okay, listen, didn't to make it so sad, sorry. But listen, I want to, tonight we have two sponsors for the radio show. And I want to give special thanks to Flagatag, which produces, creates those dolphin flags that we desperately need when we play flag football. And Yadabee, which is a lesbian-owned company. They have an assortment of wonderful merchandise, hats, T-shirts, a whole array, and they're up on our website, by the way. You can find them. They're on our radio page, and thank you for those sponsors for tonight's show. And tonight's show, I thought it was very interesting topic. Someone had suggested to me that we talk about ethics, and is it so important to win? You know, Nance and Tam, you ladies were there at the tournament last month here in Key West, the Kelly McGillis Classic. And what do you think right off the bat? Did you think that most of the teams were very competitive? What was your take on the level of competition? Do you think it was so important for a majority of these teams to win? Nance, let's start with you.
Well, I think that they should come to win. And I think that it's shortchanging everyone the opportunity that they, when they, you know, make the effort to get to that tournament, it's shortchanging their experience if you don't try to win and put your best foot forward and you know, provide a level of competition that is worthy of the effort that so many of those teams made to get there. So I think it would be an ethical question not to try to win. And they, you know, you should be a worthy competitor, and that's the ethics of it, is to go there and show your best stuff. And if you happen to be quite a bit as a team more mature than another team or more advanced, then do your best to show them the way. And again, don't play down to them. But show them, you can give them a learning experience, if you will, that they can take back with them, and you know, that's part of the value of that that tournament. You win. They say, I've heard this said, and I wish I could tell you which coach it was, but he says, I learn so much more when I lose.
Mm.
You know, and so
yeah.
I think you should do that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right, so you are competitive. And Tamalyn, how about you?
Yes, Diane, I totally agree with what Nance is saying. The women who came to the tournament, as always, are highly prepared. They are skilled. They are trained. They are great athletes, and they have great coaches, and they put in the time, the drills, the practices to come to tournaments to win games. And just like our first game was against Houston or maybe even, you know, Florida Blue Wave, and we were losing women, but, you know, they gave us every play just like they were playing, you know, Division One or Two championship game or seed game, and I really appreciate that. And those games make us better because we learn from highly skilled players and great athletes. So, absolutely. Learning the game and playing together as a team is always first and foremost, but once you get it together, yeah, let's go for the championship. Why not?
You know, I'm a little bit different, slightly different from you ladies. When I get on the field, I don't get on the field anymore, by the way. I'm really just coaching. But for all the years that I played, I would always do my personal best, and I really was a team player. I would play my best game wanting to support my co-teammates. I don't know. You know, for me, if we won or we lost, it didn't matter. You know what was more important to me was if I did my personal best. And that might be slow. I think that takes me into a different area than what you described, Nance. I mean, yes or no? Are we on two different playing fields, you think? Like, I can have a great time. If I made a great catch, a great flag grab, that's wonderful for me. I don't have to have so many points on the scoreboard. How do you feel, Nance? How do you feel, Nance, if you play your best, personal best, the best game ever in your life, and it just so happened that you lost by a point? How do you feel?
You know, there is that self evaluation as far as did I do my best, and you know, did I leave everything on the field, and was I a good team member? Did I, you know, cover my teammates, and do what was expected of me? And you know, I guess I don't mind losing when I know that I've done my best, the team's done their best, and that particular day we either got outplayed for whatever reason, or the team that we were playing was superior. And so there isn't anybody that likes to win more than I do, but I do acknowledge that, you know, when I can still feel good about a game if the score reflects that, you know, my team was behind at the end. And so, yeah, that's okay. But ethically, I still want that team to, you know, come after me and give it their all, because it's a hallowed victory, either in whether you win or lose, if the other team isn't given it their best shot.
Well, I mean, but there's also the other side, like the other team is creaming you. I mean, that's not pleasurable. Tamlin, how do you feel about that point?
Well, Diane, now that you mention it, I was a candidate that was creamed during the tournament. You know, we went 0-4. We played 4 games in 4 days, us loose women, and we were coming up, like I said, against teams like Houston, like Florida Blue Wave. You know, these teams are highly experienced. But yeah, we were losing by 3 or 4 touchdowns per game, but there were wins when the offensive line came together, when we stopped them on third down, you know, when my quarterback completed passes. Those were wins for us, even though we lost the game. And each game we got better, because by the third game, our coach, you know, was telling me, you know, that was my best game. So, I've learned so much, and you learn so much even during those losses. You know, you still just know that there's a possibility. You just feel good to play amongst those good athletes. And, Yeah, we learn from every loss, and that's one good thing about it. Even watching some of the video from the tournament, I can see some things that I will do differently, and all of that stuff is key to us getting better and growing. Yeah, and like I said, you know, Tampa, Lethal Weapon, they won the championship. Everybody wants that championship, but those guys are good. Canada's good. Mexico's good. Everybody is on a high playing level. And It only makes us better. It makes us strive to be that good, you know. It does.
But wait a second. I got to be honest here. Like, I coach the girls, the little girls. And the first thing I ask them, is it important to win? Does it matter if you lose? And because I want to find out what kind of team I'm going to be coaching. And some years, they are very honest, and they say winning is everything. This year, I lucked out. I had a couple of teams, and really, winning was not so important to them. And I tell you why. Because if winning is so important and you're losing, there's a good chance you lost it. You know, you can't keep your head focused in the game. If winning is so important and you're losing, chances are you're going to be pissed, you're going to be irate, and you can't keep your head in the game. That's important, keeping your head in the game. So, I hear what you say about you learn a lot, but you can't learn if you're so angry. You know, that's what's so great about this flag football, because you have those times during the game on a controlled field where your emotions are going all across the pendulum there. So any comments with what I just explained?
Well, I can't afford myself to get angry at anything.
Yeah, I think you hit on something, really, really strong there, and that is that, in any heated competitive battle, you have to keep your wits about you. And if you start losing sight of what you're doing, why you're there, you know, the big picture, and you start getting irritated with that, that lineman, that lines up on the other side of you that may be getting the best of you that series, or maybe you're a D-back and the receiver's beating you or whatever. If you start to lose sight of the big picture and what the game as a whole is there for, and you start getting wrapped around the axle like you were describing, Diane, where you're getting mad and irritated. And it's not healthy. It's not a healthy place for your mind to be, and you're opening yourself up to, some bad behaviors on the field, whether it be, a cheap shot or some sort of antagonistic behavior. And so, even in the most highly competitive, intense sporting events or games, you need to keep a level set on the big picture and what you're doing and why you're there, and remember that on Monday morning we all have to go back to work.
Okay. All right. Good enough. And listen, it's 9:18. I want to remind our listeners this is On Air with IWFFA Radio Show. I'm with my co-host Nancy Wernz and Tamlin Walker. And tonight's topic is about ethics. We're going to start sharing some stories, some bad stories from your team or from the other team. And then what we're going to do, we're going to let our listeners vote. They're going to decide if it was so bad or if it was part of the game, all right? So that's going to happen in a little while as this conversation warms up. I want to remind anyone listening that to join our chat room, go to our website, IWFFA.com, click on the second to the bottom link, IWFFA Radio. Click on that link, and it'll tell you how you can register on Blog Talk Radio for the Women's Football Talk. So, okay, back to the conversation, ladies. So, okay, who's going to share their first story with our listeners? Anybody, Tam or Nance, you got a bad story for us? Something that has to do with ethics, borderline, or something that you think was really nasty or... Okay.
Well, I think any time a player I didn't see anything like this in Key West this year, but as big as a football field is, you know, it's not like basketball. That's a very confined area. But when you start playing soccer and football and things on a big field outside, there's always that opportunity to get a cheap shot in away from the referee that the referee doesn't see. And particularly since there's a lot of high-speed running. You know, lacrosse is another good example. What they say, that's one of the fastest games that's played on foot. And so you have athletes out there that are running, expending a lot of energy, velocity, and it's really easy to, with an elbow or tripping or whatever it might be, inflicts harm, injury, or just to be a menace to cause them to fall or to be off balance. And I think it's really easy to do in football because it's such a big field and there's only so many officials out there. And, that's a good ethical question right now is we know people that do that look for opportunities to get away with that sort of behavior away from the referee away from where the referee can see that. And that's just poor. You shouldn't do things that you know are wrong just because you think you can get away with them.
It's
the right thing to do.
Have you guys seen that? A short while ago, there was on YouTube a pretty popular. Wait a second. I think they showed it on mainstream media. There was a young girl playing flag football, and a young woman. And she pulled the ponytail of this her opponent and brought it down to the ground. And they had it on film. Either of you guys see that clip?
No, I didn't.
You know, I think I did. And I also saw a one where it was in soccer where a male player got behind another player and grabbed the player's wrist and threw his hand up into his face, his face, and pretended he flung his head back, like he had whiplash and fell to the ground, and got a penalty called on the other guy when in fact he set him up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of a similar situation to what you're describing, Diane.
Okay, so what do you do in that situation as an organizer? Because I'll tell you.
Well, again, that's horrible because you're taking advantage of the fact that you're in a very large space and the referees can't see everything.
Right. So, let's say if last month at the Kelly McGillis Classic we had a play where one of the women or one of the girls did something so extreme like that and the referees did not see it. Me as the tournament director for that event, you think I would have a right to interject and just decide that player should be kicked off for such a flagrant act? What do you guys think? What do you ladies think? Tamlin.
You mean kind of like override the officials or interject?
Right away. At that moment. I mean, when you have something so blatant, like if you could, I don't know if I'm describing it so well. It was a couple of months ago on YouTube. This a young female flag football player was caught pulling this her opponent's hair, throwing it down. It looked nasty, really. And do you think that as an organizer, we should step in and tell the referee timeout, call the referees over, tell them what happened, or let the game go?
Well, me personally, you know, I think that, if it's really bad, then a player should get ejected. There should be no room, zero tolerance for you know, bad play or hurtful play, you know, injury type play. And,
yeah.
You know, I really didn't see anything going on like that at Key West. I am a rookie. You know, this is my first year, and I'm going to see a lot more than what I've seen, especially this year. And I know we had a few things going on between a team at Key West, but it ended up being one team was too tired, and they had a forfeit. But anytime bad play comes in, I think it should be zero tolerance because, you know, once that's allowed or we continue to play, then, you know, if a game is on the line or a championship, you never know, you know.
Yeah.
That's where a person's heart is.
Okay. Well, listen, ladies, I want to ask you now. We're going to ask our, we've got a small group here. We've got six in the chat room, all right? And I'm going to give a scenario. And we'll let you decide if it's a bad ethical play that is really bad or if it's just part of the game, all right? You ladies ready?
Yes, we are.
Okay, all right, okay. So here's the situation. True story. So we're in a game, and the other team has this dynamic defensive player. Our coach calls timeout, and he gathers the team on the sidelines, and he says, all right, look, I want you to take her out. Take her out. And so there's me and my two other good friends, we're looking at each other, and I'm trying not to use names here. So I says, I'll say to Mary, I look at Mary, and I said, take her out. Is he serious? And then Jane got all pumped and excited, and she says, yeah, you heard what the coach says. He says, we got to take her out. And she's putting banging her fists together, and it was like, wow. All right, so that moment, all right, I want you to vote now. Go to the chat room, okay? And is that part of the game, or is that an unethical situation? All right, and we're casting the votes. I just cast mine. Maybe we should have some music in the background. This is election night. This is bigger than the 2010 election.
Hey.
All right. Here we go. Hey, Nance, you didn't vote.
How are you voting? I'm looking to see how to vote.
Well, don't look at everyone else's vote.
Well, I don't see how I vote.
You gotta type in if it's ethical or unethical.
Oh, that's all you have to do? Okay, I gotcha.
Okay.
All right, here I go.
My buddy Nance.
All right, here we go. That's easy. That was unanimous. And it was just the three of us who voted. We have some other guests in the chat room, and I hope that they're going to join. If they stick their votes in, they're more than welcome. We'll count them in. It's that kind of an election. We'll count your vote even after the election is over. But I had, there's been some, doing so many tournaments. Geez, let me see. 20 in Key West, 11 in Norway, 10 in Sweden, San Francisco, Houston, Dallas. I've done so many tournaments. You know what? I could tell you some pretty interesting stories. We had one situation where the game was over. And the losing team protested the game because the other team didn't have numbers on the front and the back of their shirts. And so we had to go into a grievance committee immediately because this was tournament time. And we had to resolve, did they win the protest or not? And Luckily, they lost the protest, and that would have done a great hardship for the tournament because we'd have to make up games and change the whole schedule. But protesting after the game, when, once you've lost the game, that the other team does not have numbers on front and back, is that ethical? All right, let's go to the election. Let's go to the election here, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right, I got my vote in. Okay, we've got, it's like in bold. Tamlin, very unethical. Okay, yeah, that was kind of a little underhanded, I thought. So, Darren, you're played football. Let's see, Tamlin, you played quite a bit of games last month, and then... was there anything unethical or any stories you want to share with us that, no names, don't mention any names, any scenarios?
No unethical play during my tournament, playing Key West.
Wow.
No, ma'am. I played some good players, and I learned a lot, and I loved every game. I loved every down. I loved every kickoff. I loved every minute of it.
Okay. So, Nance, you were in there. Any cheap shots?
Yes. I think I have a story. This is a true story of something that's highly unethical that happened this year down there in Key West.
Wait a second. We're gonna vote if it's very unethical or not, just so you know. But go ahead. Tell us
okay,
the story.
Okay, so this is the scenario.
Okay.
So the teams are all ready to go for their competitive event, and they're outside of a bar, and they're all ready for their relay, and they take off.
Oh.
And the last leg of the relay, they have to run into the store and buy toilet paper and bring it back so we have it at the games the next day. And
okay, you're,
one
wait, Nance,
and the toilet
Nance,
paper was on the second floor, and one of the competitors,
Nance, you're talking about the toilet relay race.
Yes, and one of the competitors realized that there was a register on the second floor of the store, and so she didn't have to wait in line. And even though she was behind, she went to a different register and got ahead and won the toilet paper relay.
Oh, look at that. Tam has already voted. Is there more to that story, or is that that's what we're going to decide on, just what you've explained?
That's it. That's the story.
All right. Let's cast our votes.
Thanks for sharing that. That was very good.
Yeah. Man, was that fun, Nance, that toilet relay race, or what?
Well, you know, I felt bad for it was a lot of fun. I felt bad for the guy who didn't have a team, and he had to do all four legs by himself. He was so tired at the end.
All right, we got to give a little bit of a description to the listeners, people who weren't there. That was our toilet relay race. That was Tuesday night at Hog Breath, better than no breath at all. And so we signed up teams of four. And you're right, there was we had actually five teams, four teams of four, and this guy Zach was left standing by himself. We couldn't find any more runners for his team. And so we just asked Zach, do you mind just running around the block by yourself? And he was okay with it. He was really funny, actually. And so we had a runner on each corner, and the first runner lined up. And you know what? We got photos on our website. If you go to IWFSA.com, Kelly McGillis Classic Results, click on photos, and you can take a look at that lineup, that starting lineup. Everyone is really, and Tamlin, They were nuts. Nance was there. They were all so competitive. It was hysterical. They were running so hard. One of them fallen, tripped on the concrete and got back up with blood all over. And so they're running around. They run to the corner, hand the dollar bill to their player, run to the corner. The third person runs into the store. And obviously, Nance got upset because this one runner went up to the second floor. And we're going to tell everybody how our election went on that vote. And then the fourth person would run to the finish line with a roll of toilet paper, receipt, and the exact change. And poor Zach, man. Zach made it, I think, like in fourth out of five, fifth place or something like that, but that was hysterical. Okay, here we go. All right, the vote is in. We got a comment from HS23, who was there in Key West. We don't know who this HS23 is, but he or she says, very good missing the warm Key West weather. Or if you were in Kansas, you would have had a little bit of that warm weather, too. Okay. Listen, that was a very ethical scenario. There was no problem with that story. That was part of the rules. The third person running into the store had to be smart and try to buy the roll of toilet paper as quick as possible. I don't know, ladies. I don't know if these are really such strong ethical scenarios, but we still have more of the show coming. I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to On Air with IWFFA. We air every third Thursday of the month, beginning at 9 o'clock Eastern till 10:30, sometimes longer if the conversation is really exciting. And I'm with my co-hosts, Nance Learns and Pamela Walker. Okay. Ladies, we're going to come back to some scenarios, but you know what? We should bring in Jennifer. She was a loose woman. We asked if she would join us for some conversation. You think we should ask her if she would come on the radio and explain to everybody what it was like to be a loose woman? Because she was a virgin loose woman.
Yes. I think we should give her a call.
All right. We want to hear. She was a virgin loose woman. We want to hear her story. All right. We're going to ask Nance when she gets a chance. If she could please phone her up. She's got poor Nance. Nancy is the one working behind the scenes at the Block Talk Radio. Nancy, all right? So I'll call Nancy, full Nancy.
Good job, Nance.
She is back. Nancy's on the call. Tamlin, you want to say hello to Jennifer?
I sure will.
Now, you two played on the same loose woman.
Yeah, she was a wide receiver and running back, but mostly a wide receiver for us. Hello?
Oh!
Okay, so this evening.
Our virgin loose woman didn't answer the phone. Oh, no. All right, we tried. Do we have another loose woman waiting
sure.
in the sideline? Oh, we do?
Up there? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Tamlin, should we try? Well, we could try Jennifer in a little bit, that's for sure. Maybe.
We could try Sean. And I've been talking back and forth with Chastity also, and it's a good chance we can get Chastity. So let's just try to give her a call, and who knows, maybe someone's not working second shift, and we could give those guys a call.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to give Nancy. Wait a second!
Wow.
I just gave a phone number for Nancy to dial up, and in the meantime, HS23 happens to be a loose woman. HS23 happens to be Hillary from Canada. Hey, Hillary, how are you? Oh, but she's on the chat room, so she can't talk to us. Oh, man.
Hillary.
But, okay, so we're going to have to see how fast her hands are. Hillary, do you have any... Hillary, you played Loose Woman last year. This was your second year playing, right? Oh, geez, this is going to... you can tell I'm not used to the media. I'm talking to a chat room waiting to hear a verbal response. Man, I... Well, hey, listen, oh, man, I'd be playing the sidelines if I was back playing flag football, that's for sure. All right. Okay. Okay, Hillary. Hillary, you want to join in on the conversation? Hillary, can you call in the phone number? And Nancy, who's doing the tech work, she'll put you online. And then in the meantime, we also are trying to call Shanta. We'll see if we can get Shanta, another Loose Woman.
Absolutely.
All right. But anyway, you know, this thing about ethics, I really, I have to say something about something that, you know, during the games, an organizer does not have the right to overrule an official, I don't think, because the referee is part of the game. You know, if the referee is standing right smack in the middle of the field and your team has a run up the middle, well, so be it. You know, if you run into that official is part of the field and that's just your luck, you're not going to get a touchdown, that's for sure. But, and I've seen that happen, by the way, where the referee has blocked. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you a very, very funny story. It was in Norway, Oslo, Norway. There was a tournament, and one of the referees, a greenhorn, was following the play so close. Picture this, ladies. Please picture this. You have the ball carrier is running down an open field. You have the referee following maybe... I would say three or four feet, I'd say 3 feet from the ball carrier, okay? And right next to the official was the defender, and she was trying so hard to grab the flag of the ball carrier, but the referee was blocking her. It was like as if the referee was on the offensive team's team. It was hysterical, man, and the defender was so frustrated. She would have grabbed the flag long ago, and the referee gave her a perfect block. It was, and that's part of the game. What can you say, you know? Mm. So anyway, that was, could you picture that, what I just described?
Yeah, that's a tough break.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Nancy, who's doing the phone calling for us, if she could call Shanta for us. So, and the number is up there on the chat room. So we'll see if she if she's able to do that. But you know, then too, I think that's the wonderful thing about sports, flag football especially, because you have that contact blocking from the shoulder to the waist. And you know, it is tough when you're losing, and it is it's a physical game. That when you're taking a beating and then you're taking a physical beating, you know, it really hits hard. But, you know, then you have that experience, you know, and hopefully you could better prepare for your game next time or that's just life. Sometimes life, ladies, we have to, sometimes our jobs are not good and, you know, we just have these lousy, lousy moments, right? So.
Yeah,
okay. Hillary is signing off, by the way, because some family member, her godson came to visit, so he's 5 years old, so she has to go take care of him. So, all right, Hillary. I'm sorry, Hillary, we didn't get you to phone in tonight. We would have loved to have heard your Loose Woman story. I'm dying to hear Jennifer's virgin Loose Woman story. So, But, you know, two down here, I'll tell you, here in Key West, you know, they're crazy about baseball. And the parents, you know, they're very serious that the parents come to the games, and if the referees make a call against their sons, okay, they scream and yell at the officials. They've even made some death threats. So they've had to hire up in Miami officials, which was very expensive for the Key West games, because now you got to pay for the travel from 150 miles up, 150 miles back, you know. And can you imagine what the stadium was like when the parents would scream and shout because the official called their son out at the plate or struck them out?
Mm-hmm.
That's really... That happens a lot. Yeah, have you ever seen those games where the parents are really into it and screaming and yelling and in derogatory way?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And on TV. They're pretty tame right now. The season's just started, but I can imagine, you know, when it gets to playoffs or the big games, the parents can get quite animated, you know. Hey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have a rule. We have a rule, you know, that if the fans from one of the teams are so overly rowdy that they're disruptive, the team on the field will get a 15-yard penalty for unsportlike conduct. And they're responsible for getting their fans or whoever's being disruptive back in order. And we have to do that because we had some close calls, you know. And also...
Yep.
Get.
No, I was just going to mention, too, the girls' teams that played during the Kelly McGillis tournament they really had it together, and they had, you know, everything kind of under control, especially when it came to plays, you know, and just being sometimes coming up a few inches short of a first, but just still playing with that, you know, that level of wanting to win. And I saw quite a few games, you know, and I just love the spirit that my young girls play with, and they've learned to play the right way, you know, from the beginning, and it shows. A lot of that goes out to coaching. That's really great work.
You know what I got to say is really tough? It's like mixed messages coming from our society. You know, look at these bicyclists, Tour de France. It's like all these winners, you know, they know they're going to be tested if they win, right? And they still, a lot of them get busted for taking steroids or some enhancement that's illegal. And, like, look at the baseball. Jeez, man. What was his name? Was it Bonds who was the guy who consistently says, no, I don't take steroids? Who was that guy?
He's got to answer again now for that, taking steroids. He's one of current anyway that's answering for it.
What's baseball doing now about steroids? Are they up on it? Do they test their athletes?
They're supposed to test them, and I'm sure if they test positive, they have a certain game suspension and fine. I don't know how many chances they get before they're, you know, just totally banned from the sport. But
let me ask you an ethical question, ladies. Okay, so for those guys like Banks, Nance, for Roger Clemens, Bonds, all those guys who, you know, blew up muscular wise and started breaking these records, should they keep those records in the books? What about Babe Ruth, man, or who else? Who broke Babe Ruth's record? Not Morris. I remember that was controversial in 63, but Reggie Jackson, didn't he? Am I right or wrong? Who was the black baseball player who broke? Was it Hank Aaron? Oh, geez, come on. Who? No, it wasn't Henderson. Okay, but these guys today who have been using steroids, and I think it was Bonds who broke the last record of some sort, whether it was Bonds or not, should these guys keep the baseball records in the History Hall of Fame knowing that they did these hormones. Nance, what do you think?
Well, if you could accurately pull that, pull their record or whatever, I would be in favor of that. But I'm not sure how you could ever prove when they were on steroids and how long and how many of the home runs or stolen bases. It was Ken Griffey Jr. that did the home run thing. Is that the one you were trying to think of? Anyway, you don't know how long they were on and how many of the stats were affected by that. So although I hate it, and I think you need to react somehow to that, I'm not sure how you can do it accurately.
Oh, but Nance, geez, when it comes to steroids, you could tell by looking with the women, the voice is lower. You know, have you ever heard a woman's voice so low? I mean, that could be, all right. I don't mean to, that could be an indication that she's taking steroids. But also, I remember when, the Finnish team came to Key West, the Kelly McGillis, a couple of times, and that was their biggest beef, was that they thought a lot of the American women were taking steroids. And I don't know if I would agree with them. I mean, we've got some big women, naturally, and I'm sure there are some women who do powerlifting or tackle. Nance, what do you think you got a bunch of women in tackle who are doing steroids?
No, we don't. We don't have a bunch. There may be some sporadic abuse, but overall, it doesn't overshadow the game.
When we professionalize the women's flag football, we're going to have to do testing because we definitely do not want to encourage artificial enhancements. We want natural talent to be displayed, to be a reflection of the International Women's Flag Football Association. So for those of you out there listening, just be careful because, we're not at that level yet. We're on an amateur, and when we play our tournaments, we don't test anybody. And if you were to test the players, isn't that an expensive test or – is it a cheap test? Anybody know? Is it urine that they take or is it blood?
Probably could take either. I think the easiest, though, is urine.
Yeah.
And,
because,
do you think a team in our league or in our tournaments would go to the extreme? I see a prize money may be on the line, but maybe just for the win, is it possible? It's a good question, good topic.
Well, listen, I'll tell you that some of these women, they don't just play flag football. I mean, some of them are powerlifters. By the way, the woman from Sweden was the number one powerlifter in Sweden, and you know what? I'm so bad with names, man. I can't remember her name. But and Hillary, by the way, our loose woman Hillary, who just got off the chat board with us.
She's still here.
Is she on the chat board? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, HS23. Yeah, Hillary is tops in lifting in Canada, and she's a Olympic hopeful. So we got her on the chat board right now, and she's explaining to us that in weightlifting they take urine. So you know what? That could mean that the test is not as expensive as I thought. If they were going to take blood, then you have to have those blood people.
Phlebotomist?
Yes. Say that word again.
Phlebotomist?
Yeah, thank you. That's the person who takes the blood, draws the blood from you. That and vampires.
Anyway,
Don't ask me to spell it.
But you don't ask you how to spell it. You know what, Nance, can you spell that for us, please?
Oh, man.
I'm only kidding. Listen, but power lifters, and I know we had a one power lifter who took steroids, but she was not a highly competitive flag football player, so nobody... We never had a complaint about steroids yet with flag football, but you know, I did see a couple women who I would put some money on the table if talk about ethics. I would put some money on the table if you know that they were taking steroids. Yeah. Hmm. So anyway, okay. So do you think we're ready to try our Jennifer one more time? Let's see if we can bring on this loose woman, the virgin loose woman, because, you know, it's funny enough, the term loose woman, once a loose woman, always a loose woman, but Jennifer is no longer a virgin loose woman. She was before her first game, and now she, her first tournament, her first play football experience. So if Nancy behind the... radio could call her. I'm gonna send you her phone number right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And as we're gonna wait to see if Nancy's able to dial her up, then I want to let our listeners know, ladies, we have our Spring Forward Pass magazine coming out end of next month, and I want to give kudos to Georgianne Lewis. Because she's going to be, that's her little baby, and we've got a bunch of fantastic writers who already submitted story, and we're going to do a special feature with Kelly McGillis. We've got an interview with her, and that's going to be a big story. Then also we have, we continue with the Forward Pass regular section called Founding Mothers, okay? And that's where we do interviews with women who started girls or women's flag football leagues, and we give them credit. So we have, at the end of next month, our spring issue for the Forward Pass magazine. If there's any businesses out there who would like to advertise, contact us at IWFFA at IWFFA.com. Go to our website if you need to find our contact information. And let's see if I think Nancy is ready. Okay, Nancy, we're ready for you to dial. Quick, man. Fallon, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Hi, is Jennifer there, please?
I think you got the wrong number.
Sorry to bother you. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Hey, can we talk to you about ethics?
What's that?
You want to talk about ethics?
Well, listen, you have to. Barely this is a radio show. This is a radio show, and we're on air right now. We were hoping to phone Jennifer, but we've got the wrong phone numbers. But while we have you on the line, sir, would you like to ask a give us your opinion about sports and ethics? Do you think that dirty tactics should be allowed on the field, that it's part of the game, or do you think that the players should be heavily penalized?
In what sport?
Well, specifically flag football for us, but you know, in general, because, you know, sometimes there's been some really extreme dirty plays. I don't know if you saw on YouTube a couple of months ago, there was a young female football player. She outright just grabbed the ponytail of her opponent, brought it down to the ground. It was really, really dirty. And the referee didn't see it. So the woman just stayed in the game, and everybody was booing her. The stands went wild. Did any chance you saw that on YouTube?
I didn't see it, but you know, it's like, you know, rubbing is racing. You know, you play hard. What are you going to do? You know.
So is Okay, so what you're saying is it's part of the game. It's okay.
Yeah, you know, it's sports are sports. You know, it's
yeah.
You know, you're gonna play.
Yeah.
You're gonna play hard.
Okay, and is winning so important for you personally? Like when you play, are you an athlete?
I played baseball when I was younger and played baseball in high school, but winning was important.
Okay, and so what would it do to you?
Obviously, yes. It's not the only thing, but it is important.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, that was sweet of you to share with us, and this is IWFFA on air. Our website is IWFFA.com, and you know what? You can download this radio show to your iPod and share with your friends if you like. And I want to thank you very much for sharing with us tonight. Sorry we called the wrong number, but it was nice to hear your feedback. Thanks so much.
No, that's okay. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks. Okay, bye-bye now. All right. So he definitely was not our loose woman, that's for sure. That was great, man.
Almost.
We should do that every time. We should do that every time. Yeah. Okay. Right. All right. Then you pick up the phone. I don't want to pick up the phone. All right.
Well, a number out of random every month.
It'll be a new feature.
We'll get. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you know what? We'll let our flight football players just pick 10 numbers. Right. 3 for the area code, and then 7 for the phone number. Yeah, that's fun. Okay, we'll do that.
We call it our wrong number response.
Okay, and here now, it's time for our wrong number response. You know what else we did on one of our radio shows? We had we called up flag football women who didn't know they were going to get the phone call. And so, you know, right away we had to, explain as soon as they got on the phone, hi, we're on radio, you know, just so that they had to be careful for what they say. And that was fun. But then there was a couple that was no answer, like this Jennifer.
I know a loose woman that we probably could get. She was just a little bit shy about maybe being on the radio. But
oh,
she,
really?
With us for Alexander's house, and if anybody wants to get the feedback from giving her a call, we could definitely get a great interview from her over the next couple of minutes.
Really? Okay. Tell you what, can you put her phone number? Do you have a phone number you could put on the chat board for us? And
yes,
we'll ask Nancy if she'll do another dial for us.
She was just a little shy, I think. She loves us.
Well,
yeah.
you think we could persuade her? Okay, so this is the what is this segment of the radio show going to be called? Shy or something like that? I don't know, man. All right, let's try Nancy, if you could call Jackie for us. All right, so Tam, do you want to talk to Jackie or you want to?
Absolutely. I'll pick it up.
Okay, Tam, see what you can get out of her, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's see. Nancy, can you call that number, please, for us?
Okay.
Jackie, don't make her nervous.
Oh, boy. He was just coming in from dinner. Okay, well, maybe Jackie has called it a night tonight. But we did reach out to everyone.
You know who we need to get on one of these calls, Diane, is Mom's Black Sheep.
Why? Yeah.
Oh, right.
Hey.
They can talk a little bit about the loose women.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, I'm going to look up the phone number right now.
I have to write here also, and we can see if our neighbor is up there at area code 919. They celebrating St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Night now, I guess, a few people. So maybe
did anybody drink green beer today?
Unfortunately, I just went with the normal color, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
That was like a tradition. I remember everybody in New York City, St. Patty's Day, they'd be drinking this green stuff. That was just some
big
food coloring
in Columbia, and here in Savannah. It's big here in the South.
Uh-huh.
I also celebrate this weekend.
You know, also I got to tell you that Mama's Black Sheep, they were number two in that toilet relay race.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on the website. They were.
And that's where I'm going right now, and their names are up there, too. Uh-huh.
Did they
right.
also win wrestling champ, won the arm wrestling place in arm wrestling?
Yeah, that was
won.
Laura who won. Uh-huh. Laura Cerula. Uh-huh. So, all right. Well, listen, you know what we're going to do for the next month's show? We're going to line up these phone numbers, and we'll put them in different categories. We got the shy people. We got the people who we don't even know who they are. We just made up their phone numbers. We're going to have these loose women lined up. And I got to give a special thanks to QS Alexander's Guest House for sponsoring one of the loose women's teams. And maybe we should get to... Laura from the Alexander's Guest House next month. We'll line these people up and have a big list, and we can also forward it to Nancy. But anyway, one of the loose women's teams, right? The Alexander's Guest House loose women's team.
Makes me cool to play. Thank you.
Yeah. So listen now, ladies. We've got a little less than half hour left of the show. I wanted to use this time of the show to explain to everybody, first of all, for anybody coming in late, this is the third Thursday of every month. We have our on-air with IWFFA, that's the International Women's Flag Football Association. I am Diane Berylson, your host, with my other host, Nancy Werns and Tamalyn Walker. Tonight's show, we've been talking about ethics, shared some stories about some dirty plays, not so bad plays, and we had a couple of elections. But also now we have lined up for 2011 the IWFSA promotional tour, and that's going to be that is going to be real exciting. You know, years ago, when I was younger, I had traveled all across the U.S. The only state I didn't go to for flag football was Alaska. And in those days, though, you know, it was the early 90s. I want to tell people there was no internet, and it was really hard to find groups. And I wanted to see what was out there for flag football. That's before the IWFFA even. And at that time, there were hundreds of teams across the U.S. And then after 2000, IWFSA focused on Scandinavia, where we actually introduced the sport, and we started the Nordic region, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Iceland. We had to introduce the sport, started teams up there. Finland was playing, by the way. They already were playing flag football, and they joined us. And so since 2000, I have not been across the U.S. Now, Tamalyn, you're going to join us on that promotional tour this year, aren't you?
Yes, Diane. I can't wait.
Yeah. And we're going to tent a lot. We're going to tent a lot. And I think we're going to hit some of the women's fests. That would be fun.
That's going to be a blast.
Yeah. That's nice. And then... usually we stay at the people's houses when we get there. And once in a while we'll do a hotel, but, you know, we can't do too many of those hotels. It's really a low-budget trip for sure.
Mm.
And Yeah, we should work on hotel sponsor, by the way. But anyway, and we're going to teach new groups how to play flag football. We're going to help them start up their teams and leagues. And so just go to our website. We have not structured the itinerary. Most likely, the tour will begin for July and August. Okay, so those 2 months, and it's going to be really exciting for us traveling. It's going to be hard work, Tamlin. Now, Nance, you didn't want to join us, did you? I mean, you really have to take some time off work to participate in this.
Where are we guys going?
Well, we're going to a lot of places right now. I could tell you up the East Coast. San Francisco also we've been invited to, and who else in the Midwest? Well, you know, we've got our tournament over there in Chicago. As a matter of fact, let me look at our tournament list here. Let me see where we're going to.
Well, Diane, I think you should invite me and let me decide where I can go.
Come on, Nance. Come on and join the team.
Wait a second, Tam, really? We want to invite Nance?
You invited Nance
Tam. Along. Love it.
I feel bad, Nance, but I got to tell you, you know who else is going to go with us on a promotional tour?
Who else?
Hillary.
Yes, Hillary.
You're the only one. It's like you're the only one who's not going. Well, you want to go?
I want to go.
All right. Do you have an RV? You know what? Maybe we should think about traveling in an RV.
I do have an RV.
What?
No.
You have an RV?
Yeah.
You are coming.
I got my sleeping bag.
Yo, baby, we're going. How big is your RV?
36 feet.
Ooh, that's a big one. Oh, man, that is a big one. That means...
Oh, me and my lunch.
Okay, you and your lunch. You know what? Banker wanted to go, too. All right,
hey.
And Hillary's coming. Hillary's coming. All right, we got to start to cap it off, though. Anybody coming with you, Nance, or are you going to go solo?
I'll go solo.
All right. Okay.
When is this?
July and August.
Oh, okay.
July and August. And actually, listen to us now. We kind of forgot we're on radio here. People should let us know. They want us to do a flag football clinic in their town because, let me tell you something, they are powerful. When we go in there and we train and we start up, we really, like in the last year, we spent 2 months in Norway and Sweden. And you know what? We started 7 new teams. So you cannot tell me that, no one's telling me that it's not. But that's the one thing that's so profound and powerful. I think, for the IWFFA, we travel and we start up teams. As a matter of fact, next year, you know where the IWFFA is going?
Where?
Nance, I think you might, if you remember, Nance, you can answer that question.
South Africa.
No, all right. India. Remember we were supposed to have the...
Yeah.
So they didn't make it to Key West, but we still are lined up to go in 2012 to India.
Wow.
So that's gonna be wild. And let me tell you something interesting about India. You know, so the guy, my contact, Deepish, that's his name, Deepish, I had to get him on the Skype to make sure he was for real. But you know what I discovered? A lot of people from India, they're named Deepish. And so anyway, we... I know it's a it's interesting. You know, when you get out of the U.S., United States, and you experience other countries, it really is fascinating. It's amazing that we have a lot to learn. But anyway, so he was. I don't know how the conversation started, but at some point, I explained to him that we will train girls and women only. not the boys, not the men. But after the girls and the women learn how to play flag football, they can train the boys and the men. Interesting. No? What do you think?
Good deal. Good deal.
Yeah, don't cut the women out. I mean, we just taught these women from India. Well, I'm jumping here, but, you know, we're going to go over there. We'll train the women. I mean, it's a women's organization run by women for women, and that's the power of it all. You know, you learn these leadership skills. So it's India. It is still considered a third world country, and the women do not have the opportunities that the men have. And let the women learn how this great game, flag football, with the blocking, and let them coach the boys and the men. So I thought that was really cool. So we definitely want to go to India just to experience that. And by the way, Georgianne Lewis did a great story. We interviewed our contact from India, Deepesh Solanki, and there was a great story in our winter edition of the Forward Pass magazine. Did you ladies like that, the magazine?
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
You did. Okay, what was the best part of it? Well, what did you love about it?
I like the individual stories on the women and the teams. Yeah.
You like the teams, yeah. How did you like about the founding mothers? How about Stephanie Vigneault from Canada? Amazing. The woman started her own league up there with 5 teams, and now she has 55.
That's amazing.
Whoa. Kudos. Yep. Kudos to Steph. Steph's also on our committee, IWFFA committee. She's a powerhouse. Listen, there's 15 minutes left. Should we give another try for Shanta, or should we just continue our conversation about what the IWFFA is doing for this summer?
I think we should continue. What you think, Nance?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna be in P Town in July. Can you make it up to P Town when you're up on the East Coast?
Yeah, we could. And we'll ask you to make there's a couple of leagues out there that we wanna touch base with, so we're gonna give you some homework while you're over there. We're gonna reach out to, you know, one thing that I would like women to understand, you know, we need to unite all women flag football players under one umbrella. And it's not an easy task because we use 8-on-8 rules, blocking from the shoulder to the waist, kick for field goals, fake kicks, defensive rush right off the line. You have other types of rules. And a lot of times that keeps our unity apart. You understand? So there's leagues out there that exist, but it's hard for them to come under our umbrella. Just, you know, but the tough thing for IWFA is we are slowly working to standardize the rules, and we've done a great job. I mean, all of Scandinavia, you know, the Nordic region, they play with IWFA rules. You know, in India they're going to play IWFFA, and every time we promote and we have our flag football clinics, we're using one set of rules. What is the tough competition for us is when the schools have flag football 5-on-5, no contact, you know, or 7-on-7.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it, that's hard for us because when they don't play with the blocking, it's a very different game. And I think the college, they play with no contact. And for us, you know, our goal for the IWFFA, we use the flag football. We use the sport as a tool to teach women leadership skills so that they can better compete with the men in the business and the political world so we can have female influence in world affairs, bottom line.
Absolutely.
And so when you play with our contact, blocking, strategy, et cetera, women of all different sizes and abilities can play on our team. On the Key West Alexander Luce women's team, for example, Tamalyn, and, you know, you have a wide variety of different sizes, speeds, height, talent, et cetera. But when you play that 5-on-5 or that 7-on-7, if you don't know how to catch, you're really not going to be so much involved with the game. Everybody's got to know how to catch in that game. So it's like soccer, you know. If you can't kick, you're not going to be playing much on the field if you're not a strong kicker. So, and listen, let me run down the tournaments for our listeners, okay? And they can get these the list of our IWSSA Circuit of Tournaments 2011. We just had our 20th Kelly McGillis Classic. Our next tournament coming up is in Reading, New Jersey, hosted by New Jersey Power Time, by the way, and that's going to be May 21st, 22nd. It was supposed to be a one-day competition, but you can't really do a one-day competition. You're going to give a lot of games, and then you have to give time for playoffs and championships, so that's going to be a two-day event. Then our tournament following is in Jørring, Denmark, the 7th annual. That's June 10th to the 12th. And that's hosted by the Danish Devil. That's a sweet tournament. You know what the Danish women do for you over there? They get these huts, and they are so cheap. It's cheaper than hostels, and you get to stay with your team in a hut, and everything is so cozy, really. Everything is the field. You just walk to the field. And, you know, we're out there in the woods, the nature. This is in Jørring, Denmark, and which is on the other side of Copenhagen.
You're in the woods?
Near the woods, W-O-O-D-S, near the woods. As a matter of fact, Luna Olsen, her father had to make the uprights. And he made it out of steel. I mean, those things are big. You know, we use PVC. Did I say that right? PVC piping?
Yes.
I usually say PVC. Yeah, I say the drug usually. Anyway, we use those and make an H, and that serves for our uprights, you know, for the goalposts. So over there, this guy made out of steel these enormous uprights, and that's your in Denmark tournament is real cozy. And then they have, you know, Saturday night they have home-cooked meal, and they sing, you know, they do this. They're not shy of singing. You know, us here in America, you got to have balls to go up behind the mic at karaoke. Over there, somebody will just, all of a sudden, they'll start singing in the middle of the crowd. You know, they'll just start singing, and they're not drunk. They're just singing, so it's a different culture, and that's a nice experience. Then we have a new tournament. New Jersey, Reading, New Jersey is a new tournament for IWSSA. And in June 25th to the 26th, the Chicago Pride Bowl. That's going to be fun. That's during the Pride Week over there in Chicago. And that's going to be a lot of fun. That's a new tournament for us. Then we have July 1st to the 3rd, the 12th annual Oslo, Norway. It's held during the 4th of July weekend. Scandinavia, what can I tell you? You know, you should go. American teams should go to Scandinavia, not only to play in the games, but to tour Scandinavia. And then August 13th to the 14th, we're bringing back our tournament from Montreal, Canada. That's going to be hosted by Montreal Rebels. That's the 7th annual Montreal, Canada, August 13th to the 14th. Then we have in September, first week of September, the 11th annual Gothenburg, Sweden. That's hosted by the Gothenburg Angels. That's a very nice tournament. That actually, Sweden gets a good number of teams, close to a dozen. And for a region where they never heard of flag football, 10 years ago, that's pretty impressive. Then we've got Nance, September 16th to the 18th. You're not going to be in P-Town?
What's the date?
September 16th to the 18th.
I'd have to make a special trip. I'm going to be there in July. I could get there,
you're going to be there in July. Why don't you go there in September? Oh, well, wait a second. Well, you're going to be on the RV trailing with us for that promo tour anyway. So, and then we have our last tournament for 2011 so far. You know what? I think we're going to shut down our tournaments pretty soon because this is a pretty heavy schedule. But our first annual Mexico City tournament, and ladies, we're getting a lot of requests for that tournament. That's a great time during the year, October 8th to the 9th, and they've got some package deals for the teams. Air flights, hotel, registration, all in one, very cheap. So I think we did really great lining up these tournaments for 2011. Mm-hmm. So,
Indeed.
Okay. So, all right, ladies. We have about a few minutes left. We've actually got 5 minutes before we make our last few minutes announcements. I thought it was a very interesting show tonight. I want to thank you ladies for participating. Any last thoughts on what our conversations were about, or you want to add anything?
I'd just like to say it was my pleasure to join everyone tonight, and this is Tam. I am a rookie, and I will continue to bring you my games and my rookie experience from the heart. My pleasure tonight.
I don't think you're a rookie anymore, though. Nam, she's been playing now. She played Women's Week in Key mm-hmm. West, and that was her first experience, and then she played this tournament. Is she? Oh, yeah, because until next September, the first year, you are a rookie. Yeah, you're right, Tam. You're a rookie. You're a rookie.
Yep, I'm learning every game. I love it.
You know what? Maybe what we should do, we should put you on our IWFFA Twitter or the IWFFA blog, and you could share with everyone your rookie experience.
I like your first year playing women's flag football, and my hat goes off to Miss Nance Werns, and my hat goes off to you, Diane, for just making me a part of this whole experience. And whatnot, without going on too much, you guys, just thank you for letting me be a part of your team. And this is the best time of my life.
That's sweet. And you know what? We got you. We got you as a loose woman. I mean, this loose. I think every sport should have this phenomenon. And I want to give credit to the IWFFA. We're the one who came up with that concept, where we invite individual players, loose women, to play in a team tournament. And look what happened. We got Tamlin Walker. We got a lot of great loose women, and I'm really proud of that. Thanks for sharing that with us, Tamlin. And Nance, did you want to share?
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody good night. Thanks for joining us. This is Nance Werners. I'm on the board of the IWFFA, and I'm in charge of rookie hazing.
You're in charge of what?
She's
rookie
too nice
hazing.
For that, Nance. Don't even try it. You're way too nice for that.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Nance. Okay, I want to give special thanks to Nancy, who did all the technical work for us, making the phone calls, even though we didn't know who we were calling and nobody was home. But we did get that great guy who shared with us. And thank you, Nancy. I want to thank Women's Sports Talk Radio. And for anyone out there, this is the IWFFA on-air radio. All you have to do is go to our website to find out what the topic is for next month's show. We're happy to take your suggestions. Just contact us, and our email address is IWFFA@IWFFA.com. The website is IWFFA.com. Our toll-free phone number that you can call inside the U.S. and Canada is IWFFA, that's 888-GO-IWFFA. And I want to let people know that we've got our Forward Pass magazine coming out at the end of next month, but we should have our radio show the third Thursday of every month from 9 to 10:30. And I want to wish everybody a happy, happy, St. Patty's Day. Don't drink too much beer. And enjoy that corned beef, cabbage. And did you have corned beef and cabbage today?
Wait.
No.
Neither.
Oh.
Tomorrow.
You know who had corned beef and cabbage? I happen to know because I spoke to him direct before the show began. Our Hillary from Canada. Their family celebrates St. Patty's Day, and they just got off the dinner table eating that corned beef and cabbage. Yeah, I love that, too. That's good. Okay, ladies, I want to thank everybody, and then we'll see you next Thursday of the month. Enjoy, everybody. Have a happy day.